welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, January the 10th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And brothers and sisters, we are going to take a look at the readings for this coming weekend, which bring to a close this season of Christmas that we have been celebrating, oh gosh, now, for 2.5 weeks or so. This feast comes together on the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And so we are going to take a look at the readings. Now, I think that the readings you're going to hear this weekend are the ones I'm going to share with you, but the first reading has two selections, and both are marvelous. So even if you don't hear the one that I'm going to select, it's so good. The second reading has two different selections. And again, even those are really good. But the gospel for sure only has one. So I know you're going to hear the gospel. So here's what we're going to listen to. We're going to hear out of Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4 and then 6 to 7. Beautiful reading. In fact, one you may not associate with Isaiah, but more John the Baptist, and you'll understand why as we hear that. And then the gospel, we are going to hear out of the Gospel of Luke, which makes perfect sense in this year of Luke. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 16, and then we'll jump to 21 and 22. Okay, and that's for those who like to read along with as they hear. But as I always say, however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself to open yourself to hear and receive well the Word of God, I invite you to do that at this time, and just invite that Spirit within, that this Word may find good soil in which to grow within all of our lives. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "Hear as my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant to the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeons those who live in darkness." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I told you, it's a good reading, right? Again, if there were thoughts, images, ideas, words, phrases, whatever it is, if there was something that came to mind upon that hearing, allow that to settle within you and to find a home, okay? Just ponder it. Sit with it. Let it do the work for which the Spirit sent that word or image or idea or phrase to you within your life and within the life of those around you. Okay, my friends, a reading from the Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, my friends, there is so much within these readings. Here's my hope. My hope is I don't have to go through all of it, because if we did, it'd be a really long pod, and I generally just don't like the pods to be super long. So, all right, let's start with the first reading with Isaiah, because he's clearly, in a sense, I don't know if those two words go together. He's clearly, in a sense, foretelling the coming of the Christ, right? And what that's going to look like. And everybody is, in the gospel, putting this together and thinking, hey, you know, this must be John. He's the one out here who looks like fulfilling what Isaiah is pointing us toward. But I guess what I would argue is that Isaiah is not only foretelling the coming of Jesus, because John, of course, right away says, nope, nope, not me, not me. And here's why it's not me. This other one is the one you're looking for. I think that Isaiah does a beautiful job of foretelling what it looks like to be this chosen one, right? Here is my servant whom I uphold, meaning this servant, the one who is of God, but is upheld by God. Let's remember again, who is the cart and who is the horse, as it were. Here is my servant whom I, God, uphold, my chosen one, God's chosen one, with whom I am pleased, right? You can understand, again, now this makes perfect sense, what Luke is writing, and Matthew and Mark, by the way, had we read their accounts as well. My chosen one with whom I am pleased, as Jesus hears the words, right? This is my Son, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Upon whom I have put my Spirit, the one who comes down in bodily form. I mean, these readings connect so beautifully. He, meaning this chosen one, will bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out or shouting, not making their voice heard in the streets. A bruised reed they shall not break. Okay, I can keep going. But here's what I want to say first. This reading is not just about Jesus. It is. It is. But I think, in a sense, Jesus is the tip of the spear. This reading is about you. This reading is about me. This reading is about all those who are baptized into Christ. Now, why on earth, brothers and sisters, do we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord within the Christmas season? Just last week, he was a babe, and these magi, these astrologers, these seekers were laying gifts at his feet. 2 weeks ago, he was 12 years old. I mean, he's just been all over in terms of age, right? And his parents are forgetting him in the temple on the Feast of the Holy Family. Because, brothers and sisters, we don't just, and I know you've heard me say this, forgive me, I'm going to say it again, we don't just celebrate what happens 2,000 years ago, and we don't just celebrate the coming of a child, although we do. We celebrate this unification, this coming together of the earthly and the spiritual, of the godly, of the kingdom, of the realm of God, into something that we can see, hear, touch. This realm of God becomes incarnate within our life. It becomes infused in matter. And we can see God and hear God and touch God and taste God and smell God, whatever that looks like, that God does not stay distant as something only to be imagined, but something with which we can not only relate, but interact. And that something, that infusion that we celebrate, ultimately points to that infusion within us. That kingdom, that realm of God comes and finds and makes its home within us, within our hectic and chaotic and wonderful and busy and grace-filled and you know, whatever else adjectives we can describe our lives with. But that's precisely, right? Remember when I talked 2 weeks ago that stable, that chaos is precisely where God wants to be born. That's precisely where God wants to infuse the realm of God within you and I. And so when we hear this reading from Isaiah, yes, we point to Christ, because Christ is the one, not only the mentor, not only the founder of this feast, not only the one we look to see what did that look like, but it is that very spirit that God, thanks be to God, infuses within us. And that path is our path. So what does that path look like? Here is my servant whom I uphold, meaning you and meaning me. My chosen one with whom I am pleased. Yes, meaning you and meaning me. With whom I have put my spirit. Right? Brothers and sisters, in our baptism, we are immersed within the waters. At least that's the idea of it. Most of us were sprinkled. But that doesn't make it any less. It just makes the sign or the symbol less. That's all. We are immersed in the waters and we rise up somebody new. The old has gone down and drowned and the new is risen. It's like what Paul says in Galatians, I live no longer I, but Christ lives within me. My old self went down into the waters and stayed there and drowned. And my new self, this new creation, this one in Christ rose up. Now, if you're like me, that old self, it's amazing in its power to resuscitate and come back to life. And we continue to give that over to God. Be kind to yourself, okay? That old self is still there. We don't separate it magically. But brothers and sisters, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is the very meaning. That infusion happens at our baptism. That Spirit of God, yes, that old self, it doesn't separate as well as I would love it to in the image that Paul gives in the drowning in the water. But that infusion nonetheless happens and we carry that Spirit within us. And it says, you and I, being this infused one now, this one in whom Christ is born, and in a sense whom I am born into Christ. I mean, that's what makes sense that it's in the Christmas season, right? Is that in our baptism, Christ is born anew within the world, in you and in me. And we are born into the realm of the eternal in God. And so this infusion, this being born happens in both realms. And so it makes perfect sense to celebrate it at the end of the Christmas season. You and I shall go forth and bringing justice to the nations. Justice in the worlds in which we are born and in which we live and move and have our being. I may not bring justice to the nations, brothers and sisters, and you may not too. But maybe we bring justice to the situations at our workplace. And just make things right. That's what justice means. It makes things right. It puts it in the order of goodness and equality and fairness. Or maybe it's within our relationships, within our family, whatever. We bring justice to those nations, right? Not crying out, not shouting. We don't have to do this on street corners. Although if that's where God calls you, do, please. Not making our voice heard in the street. But again, in a sense, it's, you know, everybody was expecting John to be it. John was the one shouting and making his voice heard, right? And everybody thought he was the Christ. And here Jesus comes in humility and in quiet, not in secret, I won't say, but in I don't know, meekness. And the people don't see him because, well, that's not extraordinary. But John, shouting in the desert, that's extraordinary. But I think, brothers and sisters, we're invited to bring our kindness, our righteousness, our justice, our love, our goodness. I think in meekness and not calling attention to us, but calling attention maybe to the goodness and the kindness and the justice that we do. A bruised reed you and I shall not break, and smoldering wicks we shall not quench. I love this image, and that's the one I said maybe you'll be familiar with it, because John uses that when he describes the Christ in different Gospels. I mean, brothers and sisters, how many of us in our daily interactions encounter people that we wouldn't use this imagery with, but it's apt, right? Boy, they're a bruised reed. They're just trying to get through the day, get through the moment, and they're struggling. Or they're a wick, a smoldering wick that man is barely carrying the spark. And I could easily quench it with a word or an action. But we're not called to do that. We're not called to break that bruised reed or smolder or quench the smoldering wick. We're called to bring healing to that reed, right? And fire to that wick. The coastlands wait for our teaching. You and I don't carry the fullness of God. You carry a part of that mosaic, and I do too. And only when all of us say yes to that little bit of the kingdom of God, of the portion of God, the peace of God that I carry, that is born within me, does this fullness meet the coastlands, coast to coast. But we are called to do that now. And that's why I just am so in love, not only with this reading, but this feast. I know I've been speaking for a while, and I want to get to the gospel and focus on a couple of things. And then just let it sit with us. But brothers and sisters, this is the feast of the baptism of our Savior 2,000 years ago, but it's also our feast, which all these, every church feast day the church celebrates is not only the feast of something that took place, but it's our feast too, because it is both and. Now, we're in Luke's gospel, right? And we will be this whole year, year C. And we're going to start ordinary time next week, which is amazing already. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke ultimately have the baptism of Jesus. John alludes to it, but basically there's no baptism scene there. But even in Luke, there really isn't a baptism scene. Did you notice that in hearing the gospel? Matthew and Mark, it's a legit baptism. Jesus goes, says, you know, John says, hey, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, let it be done for now. Well, that didn't happen here. Luke did it. Not just because we skipped things, but because that's not what happens in Luke. Luke just alludes to it. All right? After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized. That's all the allusion we get in Luke. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. This is an important part, at least for me and what I want to say. In Matthew and in Mark, Jesus comes up out of the water in his baptism, and the skies open, and the dove comes down, and it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But not in Luke. In Luke, Jesus is a prayer. Here's why I say this. We can, again, use this imagery that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are using, that the skies open and a dove comes down and everybody hears this voice and they think it's thunder. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And they get all scared. And I've never seen that. And so that must just, it's just Jesus. And again, it was a one-time thing and that's it. But I don't think so. Because again, what we celebrate then is what we celebrate now. And brothers and sisters, there have been times in prayer that I have not heard the voice of God like thunder or seen a bird flapping around me, but that I have felt within me that I am the beloved one of God. And I suspect if you are being honest with yourselves, there are times in prayer that you have felt the same. That's where Luke is pointing. And he's saying, listen, just like Jesus felt this, when we are in that union, when that immersion becomes, I won't say real, because it's real even when we don't recognize it, but when we are at a place where that union is seen by us, felt by us, known by us, we know we are the beloved one of God. We know it not just in our head. I don't need to hear that voice, but we know it in our very being, in the depths of who we are, that we are that beloved daughter in whom God is well pleased, and we are that beloved son in whom God is well pleased. Brothers and sisters, after Jesus was baptized, after you and I have been baptized, when we take time in silence, I hope there are times of prayer that you're driving around your car and you turn your radio off, or there, I hope there are times you go out and walk and there are times of quiet and you're in prayer. I love that because I do the same. But the thing is, when we're driving, we're still kind of preoccupied with looking around and making sure we're not hitting deer, or, you know, cars coming at us, or we're staying on the right side of the road. And when we're walking, we got to make sure we're not falling off the curb, you know, or running into street signs or whatever. When we're at prayer and we can just calm ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to say what the Spirit of God needs to say, I think one of those things we hear is our God say, you are my beloved one, and I am so pleased with you, and I am so in love with you. Brothers and sisters, because I think in the midst of our chaos, and in the midst of our questioning of who we are and what we're doing and if we're doing it right, and whatever else baggage we carry, I think we need to hear that voice. I need to hear that voice. And it's in silence that our God speaks to us and reminds us, you are my beloved one. You are so beloved to me. And I'm still with you. Yes, even in the midst of chaos and in the midst of all the noise of the stable, I'm there. I'm there. And I'm well pleased with you. You are exactly how I wanted you to be made. Now, what I hope we do is exactly what Jesus did, and I mean me here too, is I hope we ponder that. Jesus had to go to the desert for that quote-unquote 40 days in order to understand, what does that mean? What does this belovedness call me to? How do I need to present that to the world? And I hope, brothers and sisters, when we know we are beloved of God, that we ask that same question that says, what does that invite me to? What is this baptism? What is this union invite me to do and be here on this earth right now? Because you know what? Justice has to be brought. And bruised reeds are around me and smoldering wicks. And the coastlands need to hear something. And that something has to come through you and I. It is not of us. I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. The cart is still the cart, and the horse is still the horse, and the horse is in front. But you know what? We need to allow that to take place and allow the Spirit of God to lead us. We have to say yes. We have to cooperate with grace. But that grace invites us. But perhaps it's only in silence that we hear that tug and that call that reminds us you are loved and you are good. And you are my beloved one. And here's where we can go with that. Brothers and sisters, as always, let's take this to prayer. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus in the temple. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you, my friends, on this, the feast day of our God, and your and my feast day as well. May your week be filled with every good joy. Be well, in God's peace.